My mom's side of the family immigrated to the United States from Korea shortly after the Korean War. My grandfather spent half of his life in Korea before settling in Maryland, but every year, when his birthday comes around, he sings this song.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
He's probably the most patriotic person I've ever met. Because of how he came to this country, he sees the United States as the good guys. And my grandfather, he sees himself as a true American.
Of the land, of the free, and the hope of the brave.
See, I grew up in a household that very much believed in the feeling of the American dream. And this idea that we were both Asian and American. But I also think this might not always square with how this country sees us. Most white Americans probably see my grandpa as an elderly Asian man with a Korean accent. And my experiences growing up in a predominantly white neighborhood, and even in present day, with how people who looked like me were treated during the pandemic, well, it just felt like for Asian Americans, being American was conditional. For my whole life, I've used the term Asian American to identify myself. But sometimes I feel like this word is something that's still undefined. We're a broad and diverse group of people with different backgrounds, but I want to talk about the experiences that connect us, the feelings that are universal to being Asian American. And sometimes that feeling is being of two worlds or being in between. Whatever being Asian American is, let's define that on our own terms. I'm Sarah Mises-Tan, and this is Mid-Pacific, a podcast exploring Asian American identity. We'll be right back. Asian American is a term that's put on us. It's a word that I check on the census. So I wanted to ask my friends and people that I know, just to start, what does Asian American identity mean to you? And what terms do you use to identify your background? Here's my colleague, reporter Janelle Salonga.
I choose Filipino for getting Filipino and Chinese. For getting super specific, I would say like Visayan and Chinese because both my parents are from that region, the Philippines.
They say they actually avoid using the term Asian American.
It's also partly more so that I don't feel American. I don't want to be branded as American, but I do feel some guilt about that because of people who are like, oh, it's so great here. Like, you should be glad to be here, you know. And my parents, too, are part of that, where it's like, you're so lucky to be here. Would you want to grow up poor in the Philippines?
I also spoke with a friend, Monica Lee, about how she identifies herself.
So usually I introduce myself as Chinese American.
Monica is also an adoptee, and she was raised by a Japanese American family who had been incarcerated during World War II. She says her family actually felt uncomfortable with having her learn any other language aside from English.
It's actually really sad, the intergenerational trauma that led them to the decision to not put me in Chinese school, just because my grandpa, who's Japanese, was interned. And they just learned that, you know, it's like, be as American as possible. We don't want to give me any markers that would make me different or, you know, stand out in any way.
But she says there isn't any other place in the world she'd feel she belongs than America.
I've not been back to China as an adult, but I know if I did, they wouldn't look at me and be like, oh, you're Chinese. They would look at me and say, I'm American. But then here in America, they look at me and they're like, what are you? And I'm like, cool. Great question. This is a fun game show I like to play.
Monica says she's thought a lot about what makes her Asian American. And she told me she thinks being Asian American feels like she's living between two worlds. And I think that's a pretty familiar feeling for a lot of other people who are categorized under this word.
Hi, my name is Ruby from the Bay Area. Identify as South Asian. Both my parents immigrated here from India, and I have always thought about my Indian identity first, actually, even though I'm born and raised in America.
Hi, I'm Jessica Chang, Irish, and I identify as ABC, which is American-born Chinese.
My name is Ryan Liu, I generally identify with being Cantonese, but I also identify with being an Angeleno, being a native of LA, being a native Californian. And, you know, sometimes, depending on the news of the day, yes, I'm an American too.
This podcast is called Mid-Pacific, in part to embrace this feeling of in-betweenness and to talk about what being Asian means to us. When we come back, we're going to dive into that more. Stick with us.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll show him Chinese boxing.
I actually first heard the term Mid-Pacific in reference to actor Bruce Lee.
Movement number 4, Dragon Seeks Path.
Lee was born in San Francisco, but raised in Hong Kong. He was one of Hollywood's very first and most prominent Asian American stars, and his life became a testament to the power of being of two worlds. In many ways, I also think he was misunderstood by both American and Asian media.
Think of yourself Chinese, or do you ever think of yourself as North American?
You know what I want to think of myself? As a human being.
Bruce Lee struggled very publicly with questions about belonging, a feeling a lot of us can relate to. And I want to explore this more. So I spoke with two people who have been chronicling Bruce Lee's life.
Hi, my name is Bao Nguyen, and I'm a Vietnamese-American filmmaker. I directed the Bruce Lee documentary on ESPN's 30 for 30 called Be Water.
And my name is Jeff Chang. I'm of Chinese and Native Hawaiian descent, and am writing a book on Bruce Lee called Water Mirror Echo, Bruce Lee and the Making of Asian America.
This term Mid-Pacific is something that I heard when watching Bao's documentary about Bruce Lee, and it just kind of stuck in my head because it seemed like such a perfect summation of the Asian American experience in a lot of ways. Can you explain, how did you guys learn about this term and what's its history?
Well, just in my research, you know, for Be Water, one term that I heard was Mid-Pacific Man to describe Bruce Lee. And this term is something that I've never heard before, but it was used as a term to describe him mostly among Hong Kong journalists, as a way to kind of describe a westernized Chinese. I guess there could be an equivalent today of calling someone an ABC. In Vietnamese, there's a term called Viet Gieu, which means Vietnamese overseas. So I kind of saw it as equivalent of that. I didn't really look into the terminology, and it wasn't until I heard from my friend Jeff Chang that there's a lot of deep history behind it.
One of the things that Bao and I had done together was a video series that was named after this book that I had written called We're Gonna Be All Right. And in it, there's an essay called The In-Betweens. And it was something that we both really vibed over. We have like much different stories about our sort of whatever our Asian Americanness, Asian Pacific Islander, Asian American Pacific Islanderness, however you want to describe it. But this was something that we bonded over, was this notion of being in between. And I think that the idea of the Mid-Pacific kind of captured that.
The issue is that it places us in between sort of two identities that are more projected on us by external forces. John O'Donohue, he's a poet, he says this thing that your identity is not equivalent to your biography. And I think that is something we are wrestling with, especially as a quote unquote AAPI community. And I think everyone, not just the AAPI community, but everyone that's a human being wrestles with that question or that idea that your identity is not your biography.
What do you guys think defines Asian American identity in this country? Is that even a fair question to ask?
It's an interesting time now because there's so much discourse about it. It makes me feel great. Me and my partner were just having this discussion the other day. You know, like some days it's like, we don't want to be Asian American. You know, it's embarrassing to be Asian American. And other days it's sort of like, yeah, like, you know, loud and proud. The one thing that is clear in this particular moment is that violence is defining what it means to be Asian American.
Ocean Vuong says this really beautiful line in his book, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous. He writes, because the sunset, like survival, exists only on the verge of its own disappearing. To be gorgeous, you must first be seen, but to be seen allows you to be hunted. And I think we've been trying to fight for our visibility, to be seen, to be called Asian American, or to proudly proclaim this identity of Asian American, but it also in a way puts the target on our back, right? Sadly. And I hope, for me, being anything, being a human being, being Asian American, being Vietnamese, being American, it's all a journey, right? We have to always recognize that, that fluidity and that, that evolution of identity. Otherwise, we'll get stuck in many ways and not be able to define who we are on our own terms.
Be water, my friend.
I mean, just get Bruce Lee to say it. I mean, just end it with Bruce Lee.
Now, you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now, water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
Bao and Jeff mentioned that violence is a big part of what defines Asian American identity, especially now. So hang on to that idea. We're going to be looking into that a little more closely in a later episode. But a little bit more about Bruce Lee. We all know that he's one of the most famous Asian Americans, but the word Asian American didn't even exist for most of his life. So Asian American is actually a relatively new term that's now been widely accepted. But I started thinking about its history when I heard from a man named Gene Yoon, who lives in Lake County, California, who says he just wants to be seen as American.
When the term Asian American first came into my consciousness, when I was a kind of young-ish teenager in the early 80s, I never really liked the way that sounded to me because it sounded like it was a political term being used as a racial term.
And Gene is right, actually. Asian American is a term that's both political and racial. It's a word that was first created in 1968 by two students at Berkeley, Yuji Ichioka and Emma G. They wanted to create a term to unify a group of people who were often lumped together, in part to build political power. Here's Catherine Siniza Choi, an Asian American studies professor at UC Berkeley.
Prior to the 1960s, who we think of as Asian Americans were usually known by names and often derogatory names that were not chosen by them.
She says many people forget this term was actually a word created to tie Asian Americans to the fight for racial justice for all people of color.
It is a category and a term with a history. It was rooted very much in political solidarity with other racialized groups.
That being the case.
On the one hand, I think it has been quite successful in ways that I think so many Americans, including Asian Americans, may not realize. The fact that the term Asian American is so widely used today.
But even when the word was created, there were concerns about categorizing a diverse group of people as a monolith, and questions around if these groups really had anything in common with each other.
Now, there are limitations. One of the impacts was a concern about marginalizing. So even from the beginning, this pan-ethnicity, this coalition building, there were issues in terms of, you know, what unites us as a group.
I agree that some people think there are issues when it comes to what ties us together. But there are common threads that unite all of us who are categorized under this banner of Asian American. And I'd like this podcast to explore those points of connection. Personally, I feel mid-Pacific, and sometimes I wish I could be a little more firm in my identity, like my grandfather. Stick around for our next episode, where we'll talk about some of the first Asian American enclaves in California, Chinatowns, and what their existence means for Asian American identity today. Mid-Pacific is a CAP Radio production, reported and hosted by me, Sarah Mises-Tan. Our producer is Jen Picard. Associate producer is Jaira Deng. Antonio Munez mixed the sound. We had editing help from Nick Miller and Shane Nuesca. Sally Schilling is our executive producer. Special thanks to Alyssa Jong Perry. Chris Bruno is in charge of marketing. Our designs were created by Marissa Espiritu. Renee Thompson is our digital products manager. Our theme song is Can't Hold Us Back by Polar Tropica. You can find that song on iTunes or Spotify. To make sure you don't miss a single episode, be sure to subscribe, follow, or add us to your podcast feed. Thank you so much for listening to Mid-Pacific.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.